I'm Marco Werman with The World. Unintended consequences. That usually means bad consequences. But in the story we're about to hear, they're actually good. It starts with the U.S.-backed fight against extremists in Pakistan. A huge number of civilians have been displaced by it. The World's Carolyn Beeler visited one displaced family in Islamabad, the capital, and was surprised by the impact on the women and children. Here's the latest story in our series, Balance of Power.
It took the Khans 2 years to build their family house in North Waziristan. They had 3 days to flee.
The situation was all of a sudden worse.
This is Seema Khan. Her family left their newly built home in June of 2014. That's when the Pakistani military launched a U.S.-backed offensive targeting extremists in the northwest border region. About 1 million people fled that year. They left farm fields, livestock, and houses full of memories behind.
Missing everything like my house, my precious household items and all that, furniture, everything which I loved, I'm missing all that.
I'm talking with Khan in the sitting room of the Islamabad apartment where she lives now. Four families share this two-story apartment, and the women almost never leave.
Being a Pashtun lady, we don't go out from our houses.
This is Haula Khan, Seema's daughter. She's in her mid-20s, and in Waziristan, she says they could leave the family compound to visit relatives. But now everyone is scattered. When I sat talking with the Khan women, I expected them to tell me how much they missed home and wanted to go back. How the military operation that the U.S. will pay up to $900 million for this year has made their lives worse. They do miss their home, but even though they're stuck in this tiny apartment, they tell me their lives have actually gotten better since being displaced. Here's Seema Khan again.
We are kind
of happy here than Waziristan because there are the basic facilities. Our children are getting education and we are living in a very peaceful environment. While in Waziristan, we were lacking such kind of facilities.
Five-year-old Iman Khan was wearing her school uniform and backpack when we got to the family's house. She wouldn't have been able to go to school back home. Her sister Haula never did.
Her future will be bright. She will be happy. She won't be uneducated like us because she has an opportunity here. She's getting her education.
They have better access to health care here, too. Asma Khan, who married into the Khan family, starts to tell me about the danger of childbirth in Waziristan. She looks uncomfortable talking about the subject. Our interpreter asks Asma's husband to leave so she can speak more freely. Asma Khan says there were no female doctors near their old home who could help during life-threatening deliveries.
When there aren't any female specialists, we get referred to male doctors, and the men in our family won't let us be treated by these male doctors. As a result, many women have died during childbirth.
The Khan women aren't the only ones to say that in some ways their lives are better post-displacement. Gender rights advocate Rukhshanda Naz has interviewed more than 150 displaced women since the U.S.-backed offensive started 2 years ago.
When we interacted with women in different camps and in the host community, we considered displacement for women an opportunity as well.
She says for the first time, they had access to literacy programs and healthcare, initiatives the U.S. also spends millions on here each year.
Some of the women they shared with us, we the first time we got importance. Someone think about us. They gave us chance to improve our lives.
Yeah, I'm getting a good news.
Back at the Khan house, in the middle of our interview with his sister, Haula, Amir Khan looks up from his cell phone to tell us he's just read some news. The government has given the region's tribal leaders permission to return to Waziristan.
Our villages will go back within 1 month.
Khan's family will be allowed to go back. Nobody really wants to, though, especially the women. Their family house has been ransacked and overtaken by weeds. But staying here in Islamabad, that may not be an option. Right now, the family gets about $180 a month from the government. Once that stops, Asma Khan doesn't know if they could afford to stay in the city.
We're wondering how we'll earn money, how would we pay the rent, and how would we get a job?
As I left the Khan family after our interview and walked down the street, I looked back at their house. One of the women was peeking out from behind the tarp on their balcony that's there to shield them from the outside world. For The World, Carolyn Beeler, Islamabad.